I'm doing what I've done, I think, now for about 12 years. I'm going to be doing a character from the Christmas story. And over the years, I've been shepherds and magi, innkeeper, Joseph. Last year, I did an angel for the first time. And why do we do this? We do it in part to underscore the fact that the Christmas story that we read every year from the Bible really happened in history. It is not a myth. It is not a fable. It is not just a nice story. It really happened. Jesus, the Son of God, was born into this world. And we try to use our imagination to think of what it was like for these characters, for the shepherds, for Joseph, for all the rest, to experience, to really experience the coming of the Savior into this world. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, the familiar story of the birth of Christ and the angels appearing to the shepherds, which we've heard a lot about in songs already this morning. And then when I'm done reading the passage, I will then be speaking in character as one of the shepherds. So follow with me. Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God, and it is wonderful news. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. I don't know how it happened, but they put me in a time travel machine yesterday, punched a number of buttons, and the machine landed right here in your parking lot. It was amazing. And I had a great welcoming committee of Anthony Gamage, one of your pastors, and Jacob Lee. Some shepherd friends of mine have been here before, but this is my first time. So pardon me because I'm not used to speaking in front of large groups. In my world, shepherds are very insignificant nobodies. Nobody ever wants to hear anything from us. So I'm honored to be here. My name is Zephaniah, but my friends call me Zeph for short. Actually, Jacob was really excited when he heard that. He said, I have a brand new son named Zephaniah. I think the name is coming back. It's going to be one of the most popular names in the country pretty soon. So I was happy to hear that. Anthony's reaction to me was a little different. He kept moving away from me, stepping back and back. And I said, is there anything wrong? And he says, well, it's how you smell. We are known, in my world where I come from, we're known as smelly nobodies. And Anthony kept backing it away, and he said, we're going to have to do something about you, because you'll be speaking in a big room, but you smell so strong that it'll just spread through the whole room. And so he pulled out some disinfectant. He was spraying me. He said, we're going to have to get you different clothes. We're going to have to clean you up. He said, we're going to have to burn those clothes of yours. I said, what? This is my best outfit. But after they cleaned me up, they dressed me like this. And I said, seriously? You expect me to go back to my sheep dressed like this? My sheep are going to laugh at me. So he said, Anthony said, that's okay. We'll get you some clothes that are more fitting for a shepherd. There's a nice store here, a real exclusive, expensive store, and we'll get you some new garments, some bathrobes, and things like that to go back. He said, we'll spend a lot of money on you. It's called Walmart, he said. So I'm looking forward to that and all the new clothes I'm going to get. Anyway, in our world where I come from, shepherds are overlooked, despised, called names, viewed as insignificant, viewed as outsiders. Nobody pays attention to us. People think we're weird. Now, maybe we are a little weird. We spend most of our time with sheep. We talk to the sheep. But you know, we love our sheep. And we care for them. We have an important job. We're actually raising lambs and sheep to be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem, not too far from where we live. And we care for these sheep, and we love them. And in my world where we come from, a good shepherd will not only risk his life for his sheep when enemies come, when predators come, but sometimes we'll even be called to lay down our lives for our sheep. And that happened to my friend Elijah, sadly, not too long ago. A wolf was coming, a vicious wolf. And Elijah put himself between his sheep and that wolf, and he was attacked and he died. But that's what a shepherd does. We love our sheep. We give them names. We call them by name. And sometimes at night, so that some of us can get sleep, we'll put a number of flocks from a number of shepherds into a big pen. It's a walled-in area with one gate, and only a few of us will need to stay awake to protect them. But it's very cool the next morning when we wake up and the sheep wake up. I will go and call my sheep by name, because I know them and I know their names. And you know what? They will get up and come to me. If you went and said their names, they wouldn't come to you. If another shepherd went and called their names, they wouldn't come, because they know me and they know my voice, and they will come. Well, that's related to what happened the night that the Christ was born. And I know that's the main story they want me to tell you, because it was an amazing night and an amazing privilege. A number of us shepherds had put our sheep in the big pen. A few of the guys were already asleep. It was the middle of the night. I was still awake around a fire. We were telling stories and eating a late night snack when it happened. And it is something, obviously, that I will never, ever ever forget that in the middle of this dark night, pitch black darkness, a bright, blinding light, as bright as the sun in the middle of the day, appeared. And this huge figure appeared and stood before us. And the guy, the shepherds that were asleep, woke up instantly because of the light. The rest of us were, of course, wide awake, and we were terrified. I mean, I was literally shaking because I sensed this was a messenger from God, but I am a sinner. I can't stand before God. And I thought this messenger from the Lord had probably come to smite us. We are terrified. We are shaking. And you'll never guess what the shepherd said. What the angel said. The first words he said were, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have come to bring you good news of great joy, because today, for you, a Savior has been born in Bethlehem, and His name is Christ the Lord. And you can go, you should go and find Him in a stable, lying in a manger, a feeding trough. I want you to go and worship Him." Well, we're trying to take all this in. We're looking at each other. We're saying, why are we being told this? We're nobodies. We're insignificant. Why isn't this being announced to the rulers of the land, to the religious authorities, to the king, whatever? Why us? We're nobodies. And while we're processing all of that, then that one angel was accompanied by dozens of other angels, and they started singing. And I've never heard anything so beautiful in my life. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to those who trust in the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. It was indescribable what we heard. And I wish we could have listened to it for hours. It was a relatively brief concert, but it was glorious. And then just as quickly as the angels came, they disappeared. So we're sitting there looking at each other. Did that really happen? What do we do with this? Nobody was speaking. Our mouths are hanging open. Really, the music had moved us to tears. The tears are streaming down our faces. These shepherds who usually don't cry over anything. And finally, Simon was the first one to speak. And he simply said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has sent His Redeemer. He has kept His promise." And the rest of us said, "Amen." And we worship the Lord. Well, then I said, "We need to go to Bethlehem." We were out in the fields right outside of Bethlehem. "We need to go to Bethlehem and find this baby." I think that's what the angel wanted us to do. And immediately, without even thinking about it, we all jumped up and started running to Bethlehem, which was crazy looking back on it because shepherds never leave their sheep. But we all ran because we know there was something important to see, and we figured, well, the same Lord who called us to do that would care for our sheep while we were gone. We ran, and I don't even know how we did it in the dark. We go into Bethlehem, we go down certain streets, and we somehow the Lord led us to a stable at an inn. Didn't exactly look like this, but it's a nice model that you have here. We found Him, this ordinary, simple, dirty, little stable that looked so ordinary from the outside, and yet we peeked in, and as we crossed the threshold into the door, honestly, we felt like we had walked into heaven itself. Because that's when we saw him. That's when we saw this brand new infant baby being held by his mother, Mary, with Joseph in that room. It was absolutely life-changing to see him and to know who he is, who he was. You know, it was kind of odd. On one level, he looked like any ordinary Jewish baby. Dark hair, dark eyes, rosy cheeks. By the way, he didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes, as I know some of your pictures have. He was a very Jewish-looking baby. And he looked like a lot of other Jewish babies that I've seen before. And yet, on another level, we knew there was something totally unique about this miracle baby because of what the angels had told us. And I don't even know how to explain it, but because of what the angels had said and seeing him and seeing Mary and Joseph, the Lord gave me faith immediately to believe that this is the one who would change the world. This is the one who would change my life. This is the one who would make all things new. This is the one who would cleanse me and forgive me and redeem me, a messed up, lost, broken sinner. God gave me faith to believe that. And I praise the Lord for what he has done. Well, as you can imagine, the interaction with Mary and Joseph was a fascinating part of that visit. Because although they were startled when we first walked in and didn't know what to make of this, we told them why they were there. And they said, tell us more, tell us more, tell us more. What did the angels say? What would they say? We tried to describe it. And they had these huge smiles on their faces as they heard our stories. And we said, well, tell us your stories. And of course, their stories were about angels too. And how the Lord first came to Mary and then to Joseph, telling Mary that she would bear the Son of God, a child born with no human father, who would come to redeem the world and to save everyone who trusted in him. And we just worshiped the Lord with them, and we sang a couple of psalms that King David had written about the Son of David, the Redeemer. And we prayed and worshiped and said, thank you, Lord, for keeping your promise and sending this Redeemer into the world. We wish we could have stayed there for hours and days. We only stayed a couple of hours. Then we had to go back to our sheep. But as we left, it was dawn. We're walking through Bethlehem. We were so excited about what we had seen and what we had experienced that we wanted to tell everybody that we saw. And we're walking down the street in Bethlehem saying, the Messiah has come, the King has come, the Christ child has been born, and he's in a stable, in a manger. Guess how people reacted? Most of them just laughed. Oh, those stupid shepherds. They laughed, they called us names, they discounted it, what we said. A few of them believed, though, we could tell. We went back to our sheep and they were okay. A few days later, we went up to Jerusalem because we needed to take another delivery of our lambs there. And again, we were so excited about the news. We were telling everybody we met what had happened. Most people thought we were idiots. Most people thought we were drunk or something, out of our minds. But we found a man at the temple named Simeon, an old godly man who'd been studying God's word all of his life. And when we told him, he started weeping. He said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for remembering us, remembering his promise. But then he told us some sobering things. He said, I've been studying God's word my whole life, and I know that this Redeemer who's come to deliver his people is a Redeemer who will have to suffer for us. The book of Isaiah, other parts of God's word tell us that he will have to suffer for us because of our sin. I think that most of you know when this Jesus, this Christ child, grew up, he became the greatest teacher, the greatest preacher, the greatest healer that the world has ever seen. He did amazing things in our land, in the land of Israel. But I imagine that most of you know that when he was around the age of 33, he was brutally murdered. He was hung on a cross for our sins. It was according to God's plan, but it was a brutal, horrific, unjust murder. And yet he did that because there was no other way that he could deliver us and forgive us and redeem us. But through his death and resurrection, he defeated sin. He defeated Satan. He defeated death so that all who trust in him can know his salvation and his deliverance. That angel choir sang, "Glory to God in the highest." And I've thought about that song, and I've thought about those words so many times. And I've thought about the fact that the Lord sent this Redeemer to broken, needy sinners like me and like you. I'm amazed that he came to our people because we had turned our backs on him so many times. We had chased after other idols, other gods. We had been rebellious. We had broken his law and we broke his heart hundreds and hundreds of times. And because of that, some people in our land even wondered, has the Lord forgotten us? Has he rejected us? Will he really keep that promise of sending a Redeemer? But he did. He remembered us. He didn't reject us. He sent his Redeemer to save us. And he sent the announcement first to shepherds like me and my friends. And I've sometimes wondered, why? Why did he send the message to us? Some people think, well, maybe because Jesus was coming into the world as the ultimate good shepherd who would lay down his life for his people. Some people think that, well, it was because he was coming into the world as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of everyone and actually to end the sacrificial system at the temple. I don't know why he started with us, but what I do know is this, that as he came, he showed me and he showed the other shepherds how much he loves us, how much he was willing to do for us, how in his eyes there are no just ordinary people. We thought we were insignificant. We thought we were unimportant. We thought we were nobodies. And he came to us to say that he loved us, that he was sending redemption to us. In God's eyes, there are no insignificant people. And Jesus came into the world, I believe, and I hope you believe it today. He came for all kinds of people. He came for the young mother who's been abandoned by her husband. He came for the drug addict who's consumed and controlled by the substance that he uses. He came for the lonely kid at school who has no friends, no one who will talk with her. He came for the prostitute who's been caught in a web of exploitation by other people. He came for the religious person who's a phony, who's living a double life. He came for the refugee who has no place to call home. He came for the immigrant who's despised and rejected by others because of her accent or because of the color of her skin. He came for the ordinary suburban wife or husband who just seems to live a life of despair and futility. He came for the person who views themselves as worthless or unloved. He came for the woman who walks around with a sense of constant shame because of things that she's done or things that have been done to her. He came for all kinds of people to give us hope, to give us life, to give us forgiveness, to give us redemption. He came to me as a nobody. And he said, I want you to know that in my eyes, you are cherished, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are valued. You are my child, my son. And no matter what your life is like or where you're coming from, that's the message he wants you to hear today as well, as you put your trust in this Jesus who came to change us and to change the whole world. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest indeed. He came to bring us hope and life and salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing, wonderful message of Christmas that is true. This message about how you came into the world for us. And I do pray that you'd be speaking to every one of us here, no matter what our current circumstances are, that you would give us hope and confidence in you and trust in your work to give our lives to you completely. Thank you, Lord, that you come to us even as you came to those shepherds. And thank you that as that shepherd saw you with his physical eyes, we can see you today by faith. And thank you that we know that that day is coming when every eye will see you, when every tongue will confess that you are Lord, when every knee will bow before you. And I pray that in every one of our lives, we would have the joy of knowing you now, confessing you with our lips now, bowing the knee to you now, and knowing the life and the salvation that you can bring into our lives as we do that. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your mercy. In your name we pray. Amen.